And there's nothing wrong with a woman giving herself more options and more chances and taking control. Like, that's the thing, right? You're taking control and not letting this stupid quote-unquote biological clock like loom over you. It might, listen, the eggs might be in use, might not work, blah, 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 all these things. But sure, it's just the message that you're sending yourself by going through this physically is saying, like, you are in fucking control and your fate is in your hands.
I love that. Hi, everybody. This is Marilyn.
And this is Rhea.
And you're listening to Who Run the World, a podcast where two Arab women and best friends come together to talk about what's on their mind and the mind of their peers today. And this is an episode of our spin-off series, Things My Mother Didn't Tell Me, But My Best Friend Did.
And I'm the best friend telling you something today.
Whoa. Rhea, what are we here to talk about?
We're here to talk about
Easter.
Easter. I was going to say, a few episodes ago, we did Valentine's Day and now we're doing Easter.
We're all about the calendar events this year.
All about the calendar. We said we would be seasonal. Lol. But all jokes aside, what we mean by Easter is that we're going to talk about eggs and specifically my eggs.
Rhea's eggs are on the show.
They're currently in a freezer somewhere.
Well, some of them. Haram. Yeah. Do you think about them being frozen?
Not really.
Guess who's not sleeping tonight?
They're not really. You know, actually what I thought of. Okay, so to like make it clear to our listeners, I froze my eggs yesterday, or I had the retrieval yesterday. And actually what I did think is I wanted to ask the clinic what's their labeling process, because I thought, what if by accident they put my eggs on someone else's name and there's a little Rhea walking around? Because
it's like a baby switch.
Yeah.
Except it's an egg switch.
Yeah.
Your mind goes strange places.
I watch too many movies and TV shows, so I always write films in my head.
Tell you, there's many beginnings to this story.
This was not what we
but
expected.
I think that perhaps
you went there.
The beginning of this story, one that would serve the show, is an episode that we did with Dr. Gael.
It was actually the beginning.
Is it?
It really
is.
Was.
Is it really the thing that like pushed you to consider it? So to be clear, during that episode, we asked Dr. Gael to join us for a second time to talk about fertility.
Yes.
And at the end, we did a two kinds of people.
To freeze or not to freeze.
To freeze or not to freeze. And Gael and I both told you to...
I don't know. I just feel like it's a lot of pressure. I just feel, I don't know why I feel.
And what
maybe
kind
it's,
of
it's
pressure?
Between me and me.
Make it explicit. Like you're just saying, I don't know. You've said, I don't know 30 times in this process. What is it that you know that you're not saying out loud?
Okay. Other than it being a lonely process, I just don't
your
think it's in the cards.
Your whole life is a lonely process. We'll just add one more.
Sure. But I just don't think it's, I just don't think it's in the cards for me. So I'm like, why go through it if I don't think it's going to happen?
You have to think about it. Like, is it insurance? You know, you have a car insurance, but you're not planning on having an accident.
With me, you never know.
Can I say there were three
triggering events
and events and conversation that made me decide?
Yellow, number one.
Number one was with you and Gael, because I said that I didn't want to freeze my eggs because I didn't think that I'd ever be in a relationship in the future and use those eggs, or I didn't think motherhood was in the cards for me. And then Gayad said, why are you making a decision now for your future self when you don't know what your future self is going to be?
Love me a past self, future self moment.
Yes. So that was number one. Mm-hmm. The second one was with a friend who said, there's no emotion in this. Like, you're just freezing your ex. That's it. You don't need to think of anything beyond what it means. These are not children. These are just a couple of eggs. Yes, they're a part of you, but you're just freezing them. You might not use them. Just freeze.
I mean, you lose eggs on a monthly basis and you don't cry over that, mostly.
Ciento per ciento. And the third one, and I said I would shout out her in the episode. So here is me shouting out to Kate, my colleague slash friend, who very generously and openly and bravely told me about her egg freezing journey and gave me all the like logistical and health details. And she had done all the research in Dubai to see the different clinics and all these things. And she had a great experience at this clinic, which is the clinic that I ended up going to. Shout out to and yeah, it felt like,
I don't know if we're allowed to advertise shit on the show, but yeah,
Well, they're holding my eggs. So.
Shout out to the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
Dr.
Barris and Dr. Carol, who actually did the procedure. True. So I would like to shout them out because they took very good care of me.
They did. That's true. Everybody was high-fiving Ray on the way out, people. All right. Hilarious. So three moments that kind of pushed you to do it. But how long had it been on your mind?
So it's been on my mind since I turned 31, mm-hmm. 32. So like a year ago. Because mm-hmm. I thought I have no prospects currently of like family making in the near future.
In the next 6 months.
So that was when I started thinking about it. But I've always had this debate in my head about whether I was going to have a family or whether I was going to have children or not. Mm-hmm. And so I had kind of told myself, or the dark voice in my head would say, what's the point of doing this? It feels like a saying out loud that I want children or I might want children. And that's a very scary thing to say, because what if it doesn't happen? And what if I'm not in the context for it to happen? And I know it's even common for women who are married and in loving relationships and who are trying to have a kid that also feel that fear around motherhood. But it felt like I was saying something out loud that wasn't going to happen. And I wanted to steer clear of that, if that makes sense.
So it went from being a decision about freezing or not freezing to being a decision about whether or not you wanted to be a mother.
Yes.
And whether or not you wanted to say it out loud.
Yes.
Shit, man. Sounds complicated.
It was.
So how would you say, like, if I asked you to, like, I'm sure a lot of women go through this line of thinking. And actually, the younger you do it, the better. Yeah. If you are going to do it, right? Yeah. Like, doctors won't push you to do it just because, like, whatever. But if you have good reasoning behind it, the younger, the better. Yeah. So there's no point in dilly-dallying.
Exactly. And if financially you can do it.
For sure. It's not a cheap process. Can you separate for me, what were the rational arguments that led you to do it now?
Good question.
And what were the emotional ones that led you to do it now?
Okay. So rational, you said it, age. I'm never going to be as young as I am now. So let's say I meet someone in a year and there are fertility issues. I would much rather use a 33-year-old egg than a 38-year-old egg or a 39-year-old egg or a 40-year-old egg, whatever it is. I'm in a financial situation where…
And a company that supports it. Which is really incredible.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
I think I could say it on the microphone.
Yeah, those benefits are public.
So my company paid for it in full. So I wanted to take advantage of that benefit. I don't know if this is emotional or…
Rational.
I have a great support system here. Mm-hmm. That…
it's both.
Yeah. That would show up, be there for me. So I wouldn't feel like I'm alone. If I was in London, I think I would have felt a bit
that's like
lonelier.
10x alone.
Yes. And yeah, they're just eggs in a freezer.
Like, and I think
they're
also…
They're not children, you know?
You cited this earlier, like also Gael's argument about just… This is an insurance ticket. Doesn't say anything about you. You don't know what future Rhea's going to want.
100%.
You might meet someone tomorrow and you're dead in love and you still have fertility issues.
Yeah.
So now you have options.
And even both Dr. Barris and Dr. Carroll said this. Freezing your eggs is not a guarantee. It just increases your chances.
So that's rational. Mm. Let's touch on emotional. What finally removed the barriers you had set for yourself?
I no longer wanted to operate from a place of fear. Mm-hmm. We mentioned this a bit in our Word of the Year episode. And yeah, I want kids. I might want kids. So it's okay.
You're saying it out loud.
And
that's fine.
That's okay. And if it happens, amazing. And if it doesn't happen, it's also okay. Mm-hmm. So that's not one. Second, you know, I don't want to be the one in the future that looks back and said, oh man, she didn't try. She just, you know…
Gave up on it,
gave in to the dark voices in her head, didn't try, became a cliche to her own story.
Could you share what some of those voices say? Because I'm sure a lot of other women have those same voices.
Sure. So like one of the main ones is just like, and it's the same for when I want to go dating or if I want to put myself out there or if I dare to daydream of, you know, a family or whatever, or even having a kid by myself even. Mm-hmm. The voice is like, oh, no one's even interested in you anyway. So why would anyone ever want to start a family with you? Or you're 33, single for 33 years. It's never happened for you. Like, why would it happen now? And why all of a sudden you want to freeze your eggs? That's just putting your body through something for something that's never going to happen. So like, what's the point of doing all of this?
Renda's a bitch.
First of all, her name is Nada.
I know. I call her Renda because my brain does this thing where if it doesn't like someone, it can't remember their name. I legit walked up to someone the other day where my brain was like, I feel like I know this guy. I'm going to change the names. But I'm like, hi, I think we've met before. And he's like, yes, we have. And I'm like, Nadim? And he's like, Victor. And he was legit offended.
And oh, shit. And it's like, someone you didn't like?
Kind of. And so, because I don't like that voice in your head, I call her Renda. Wow, those are really tough words. Mm. And it takes a lot of courage to
thank you
walk past them.
Yeah, or just to hike it, go la 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 la. Literally walking past them. It's like a
I like that image, actually.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Because the voices are still going to be there. It's not like they're going to disappear all of a sudden. But by doing this, is you're not letting them take power.
Thank you for sharing those.
Thank you for asking.
It's a powerful moment.
Thank you.
I think a lot of women have those voices. A lot of men have those voices. And actually, we think we're alone and having them. And then when we say them out loud, we realize how ridiculous they are. And how many of us do? Except me. I have no dark
voices. You have no dark voices. None, what are you talking about?
Absolutely.
What you talking about? But also a great way to battle those voices is to present it with arguments of behaviors and of actions that say, you know what, I don't believe you. Or you know what, you're wrong. It's like you're in a court arguing with them. You're saying, no, there's this and this and this. And the jury says that we're going to do this. And it's a hoot in my head, guys. I promise I don't have multiple personalities. Maybe I do.
Which personalities' eggs do you think were extracted?
Oh, definitely not Nada's. Could you imagine it's like a baby Nada that comes out of one of these eggs?
God help.
I'll be like, go back to the freezer.
Literally,
bitch.
I will send her back myself.
Go back to the freezer. Also, those dark voices do serve a purpose.
Which is?
Which is like this Nada voice or this dark voice has pushed me to be more adept at analyzing things or to sometimes overthinking is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes being careful is a good thing. Sometimes doing the safe thing is appropriate for X or Y manner. So I think also completely denigrating that voice and say, you know, useless. And I don't like, Nada has always been a part of me, and trying to fix Nada is like trying to fix myself and assuming that she'll never be around. So I think you also need to accept to be like, Habibi, thank you for loving me and wanting to protect me. But it's not useful at this moment.
I mean, a bit of a tangent there, but maybe that's why I don't have dark voices. Because I've always been a proponent. You've heard me say this. When I see friends trying to fix themselves, there ain't no fixing happening, friend. This is you.
Yeah.
And everything that constitutes your dark side is also what makes you so lovable. Actually, they are married to each other.
1,000%.
They're like kryptonite, you know? I think total acceptance of both Renda and your other personalities is the only way to go.
Yeah,
I think you can fix it or kill her or get rid of her in any which way.
For example, in this situation, let's say the clinic didn't feel safe, let's say. Mm. Then that's when Nada's like, no, this is not the right place to be,
that's right? She'll protect you.
Exactly. So there's also, if you are feeling that you have these negative voices, instead of like trying to push them away because they're never going to disappear, maybe understand why they're there. How have they served you?
Mm.
And then also realize that you're in control as to when you can call upon those voices and when you say, actually, now is not the moment.
Let's talk about, you know, for people thinking about it or considering it, like what are your steps? What do you do? How does it go? How do you start the process?
So first things first, find a clinic, do your research. I was grateful that Kate had done the research, so I just knew where to go directly. So if you also have friends in your life who've done it before, maybe ask them, how was their experience? Did they like their doctor, etc.? And then you go and the first thing they do is they do an ultrasound, so they check your ovaries. They take a blood test to check your hormone levels. And then based on those results, they'll tell you what is the treatment, I guess, or the hormone treatment that you need
like
to go
through.
Like
where you are in your cycle.
Yes.
And what
Not
works.
Where you are in your cycle. Like how much, what's your hormone level? What's your egg reserve? How old you are?
Right.
More into where you are in your fertility.
Got it.
At that moment.
You know, I went with you to that first appointment. And
you came to multiple appointments.
I sure did. I'm such a great friend.
You really are.
And I think like some of the things that were really interesting. First of all, you know, your doctor was like Zen Master 6000.
I call him Dr. Zen.
Yes, I call him the Easter Bunny, everybody, for reasons you will all understand. But I think what was really wonderful about him is that he really took the time to explain everything like you're not an idiot.
Yes.
Like the whole scientific process, mm-hmm. what happens, what is a follicle, what is an egg, how does this stuff develop? And I think for me, actually, one of the things that I didn't know, I hadn't thought about it much, but I didn't know, is that extracting your eggs does not reduce your overall supply in the sense that what happens every cycle is that multiple follicles develop anyways.
And only one survives.
And only one is the chosen one.
Yeah.
And what this process does is it allows you to have 10 chosen ones or 15 chosen ones all at once, which would have died anyways if they hadn't been extracted.
Correct.
That was like a really interesting thing.
It's kind of like when you have intercourse and sperm is shot up. Like not all the sperm
makes it.
One is the chosen one. So it's the same for women. It's like your one egg is the chosen one that
makes
it through.
But the others were going to die anyways.
Exactly.
So extracting them doesn't overall reduce what would have been your supply anyways.
And that means it doesn't delay or it doesn't bring closer up menopause.
Theoretically.
So that was one of the questions. Also, something that the doctor explained is that when you're a baby, so when a woman is a baby and she's in her mommy's belly, she develops all of her eggs. And there's about, I'm going to botch this number, but I think it was like 5 million.
Yeah, I don't remember the number, but he explained that it went up and then it goes down dramatically in our first few years.
It halves at birth and then it continues going down. And then you have about 400 periods in your lifetime, give or take, on average. So basically what you inject in your body is some hormones to
FSH
to help develop those eggs, as Marilyn was saying.
Right.
And he was saying that what you're doing is that you're taking your FSH level, let's say to X level, when you're pregnant is even higher than
so
that.
Yeah, so he was saying that the amount of hormone that you get doesn't exceed what naturally occurs in a female body.
Exactly.
In certain moments.
So it's very safe. It's not something that's going to put your body through a loop. I will say I need to caveat something. I'm telling the story from my experience.
Everybody's different.
Everyone's different. Everybody is different. We'll tell you also about the extraction day.
Mm-hmm.
There were other women getting their extractions and we all reacted differently. I can hear from the sounds. We'll talk about that in a second. So it's
great,
super safe.
Great explanation.
Great explanation. He even like broke down the risks because basically what happens when they extract them, they go up vaginally.
Mm-hmm.
And they pierce your
ovary
and they suck out the eggs.
And the liquid that's in the follicle.
But the thing is, so when you have normal surgery, when it's somewhere on your skin, they suture you. So they close the wound. Whereas here, they're unable to close the wound because it's so small and they can't do that. So the one risk is that you bleed out a little bit. And in that case, you go to the hospital.
You could also get infected.
Exactly. And then they do they close it laparoscopically.
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 No. Laparoscopically.
Laparoscopically.
You're like Joey trying to speak French.
Laparoscopically.
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 Good job.
Okay. Guys, what do we name one of the eggs? Laparoscopically. Mr. Laparoscopically.
Literally can't pronounce
it. No, I can't. So that was the risk.
So did you tell everybody? How did you go about sharing about
this? I told
this?
Everyone and their mothers.
Literally.
I did not hold back. I did not care. Mm-hmm. Like even my colleagues. I was like, I'm freezing my eggs.
What made you make that choice?
First of all, when Kate shared, it meant the world to me. And it really helped me make my decision and really reduced the bigness of it all.
Right.
And I said to myself, if I can do that for others, why not? And also, it's nice to feel that you have a tribe behind you and you have people supporting you. And it makes it also even smaller the more you say it. You're like, I'm freezing my eggs. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. It's also my way, like psychologically, I know the more I tell people, the more I'm like, fuck, I have to do it now. So I know like I like create that environment where like, okay, I've said it. Now I have to do it.
Did you get different reactions? Or was everybody somewhat supportive?
Everyone was supportive.
Except?
No, everyone was supportive.
Okay.
Even my parents, my brothers, everyone was supportive. There was people who maybe didn't understand like or had questions and you could tell they didn't want to ask questions like more from the older people. Not my parents, like maybe their friends and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's like my group of single girlfriends who all were like, we're going to watch you and see how it goes for you.
Right behind you.
Because I think they might want to do the same. And it was sweet. One of my friends sent me a message the day of the extraction. Because we were trying to make something else. And then she was like, I was like, oh, by the way, I'm getting my extraction today. And she said, so proud of you. I'm praying it will go super smoothly. I have been so inspired by you in this process. Think of everybody who loves you as you go into it.
That's lovely.
You know, something you said earlier that I think is like the reason that we created this spinoff is we live in a lot of things that are untold. Mm. And once we say them, once we tell them, they shrink in size. Mm. And that's why I love that you just went around telling everybody. Because I think you don't have any idea how many people you've served by doing that.
Hopefully, even if it's one person.
We know for a fact. Every episode we've done where one of us has shared something that isn't usually shared, people have come back to us and said, oh my God, I felt this way too. Mm. I was thinking about that. I had trouble with the same decision. Yeah. And the fact that Rhea or Marilyn was so honest about it has helped me to realize I'm not so special and kind of move on, you know?
And there's nothing wrong with a woman giving herself more options and more chances and taking control. Like that's the thing, right? You're taking control and not letting the stupid quote unquote biological clock like loom over you. It might, listen, the eggs might be and use might not work, blah, 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 all these things. But it's just the message that you're sending yourself by going through this physically is saying like you are in fucking control and your fate is in your hands.
I love that. So we went to that first appointment. The doctor explained to you what was going to happen. Did that first kind of test. And then it was go time. So what does describe go time? What does it feel like? How long does it last?
So go time means, okay, so I had a 2 months in between because I had Christmas and I was traveling and
et
cetera.
That was a you thing.
Yeah, that was a me thing. But basically you go, take a blood test, and from the blood test, they give you your treatment or your cocktail of stuff. And for me, that meant one shot daily at 8 p.m. So basically that shot would help stimulate the eggs. And then I had to take this pill 3 times a day at 6 a.m., 2 p.m. and 10 p.m., which basically would stop my period.
No, so it would stop your ovulation.
My ovulation. See, this is why Marilyn was
This is why I was there, everybody.
But I didn't get my period. I was supposed to get my period. I didn't get my period.
Yes, because your hormone level is high.
And yes.
In the cycle, you get your period when your hormone level crashes.
Yes.
Everybody.
And then that happens for about 6 days. And then you go for your first checkup, which is another ultrasound to see. And basically they measure the size of each follicle.
Who gave you your first shot, Raisi?
We'll tell you, there's a lot of bloopers.
There's a lot of fun shots.
There's a lot of bloopers in this whole 10-day process.
So let's start with the shots.
All of them involve Marilyn.
First day, Rhea has to take her first injection.
My first injection. First of all, can I just give a big shout out to my friend, to my bestie, Marilyn, for physically being by my side during this time. You have no idea how much courage and help that gave.
I mean, I was just there for my future nieces and nephews, you know?
I know you were there for them. But you, Heike, it was like also the idea of not having to actually go to all your appointments alone is a very nice
I get it.
Feeling.
If I had gone to these appointments alone, it would have broken me.
Yeah.
Tell your friend to come with you. Don't be don't be shy.
It's fine.
Just ask someone you love to come with you.
And they'll sit there, you get to hang out.
Maybe not your mom because she's going to freak you out, but like a good friend, you know?
And also it's good to have an extra pair of ears because A, to understand the science that I like half-ass understand. and second, also to understand…
To ask the questions, to be reminded of them. We would brainstorm questions before walking into the session so that at least one of us would remember that we need to ask them.
And a lot of times Marilyn would remember questions to ask that I would forget to ask. And also to see like how the shots work and what are, like I remember even one day I was like, wait, what time is my pill? And then my phone went off. I'm like, wait, what is it? And then Marilyn's like, it's your pill. Go take your pill. So it's good to have that. So the first shot, why were we here? Oh yeah, you had come worked at my place and then I came here.
That's right.
We had a dinner. So I came to your place and we were going
to work. Oh, that's right. And then we went out to dinner together.
And so I brought my first shot with me.
First shot. So during this period, all of your shots are in your tummy.
In my tummy, yes.
Yes.
3 fingers from your belly button. Mm-hmm. Side and down. So I'm like prepping the shot and then Marilyn's like watching me and I'm supposed to prick myself. Can I just say pricking yourself for the first time or just pricking yourself in general is not like a given.
No, because your brain is designed to protect you from that. So it's not that simple.
So I literally could not do it because I was like, what am I just supposed to just prick myself?
Shove a needle in my body?
And then, guys, I've never seen Marilyn
so giddy.
So giddy and joyful when I just turned to her and was like, can you do it?
And she was like, I sure can.
And she took it and my first reaction, and I said this to her like right there and then, I was like, you are enjoying this way too much.
I was definitely enjoying
it. Way too much. And she was like, woo, 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 woo.
I was like, let's go, bitches.
And then 1, 2, 3, boop. And I was like, wow, this is not painful.
Mm.
And so I managed to do it.
I think that's the first misconception, is that it's actually not that, those shots are not that painful.
No, it's like a small needle. If you're not irked by needles,
you're fine.
You're fine. It's not that painful. You don't feel anything after. For the first 6 days, I didn't feel anything.
True.
I still went to the gym. I didn't drink or smoke.
Because you're not supposed to.
But whatever, I don't drink and smoke that much anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt fine. I had a birthday party. Like, I was totally okay. And at the gym, I did like a CrossFit workout. I ran. Literally did not feel anything. But then closer to the extraction date, and up until today, actually, you feel hella bloated.
Mm.
You start feeling like day 7, 8, you start feeling bloated. Because that's the size of your follicles are expanding.
So guys, I got a message from Rhea when she goes to get her follicles checked.
Yes.
So Rhea messages me. Obviously, Rhea, I mean,
bless her.
I'm guessing that
Rhea,
I'm guessing,
and
we can talk about it, that even in this process, there's a lot of competitiveness.
With myself.
With yourself and your body. And well, how many are you going to produce and so on. And so Rhea messaged me and she's like, I just went to the doctor. We checked on my follicles. They're fucking huge. And then she goes,
like, the biggest one is 16 centimeters.
And I go, did they say 16 or 1.6? And she goes, 16. And I'm like, I mean, I might be completely off on this. Just to give you guys a perspective, like, if you take an A4 and you fold it in half, that's about 15 centimeters.
Stop. Is that what 15 centimeters is?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I was like, surely it's not 16 centimeters.
Is it 16 centimeters like this big?
In a hospital. 16 centimeters, Rhea.
Holy shit. So, I had no idea. But so I'm not good at
surely
like,
she
geometry.
Doesn't mean 16 centimeters. And also, I don't think ovaries are that big to start off with.
Can I say something?
So I actually went on, I was like, I'm going to doubt myself for a second here. And I went online. I'm like, how big are ovaries? And it's like 3 to 3.5 centimeters. And I sent this to Rhea. And I'm like,
I was like, oh,
the fuck are you talking about? Maybe she says 16 millimeters.
So by the way, so I had to go to the doctors 2 days in a row to check my follicles. So the second day I went, the lady who was, you know, doing the ultrasound and measuring them. And I'm like, you mean, I told her, you mean they're millimeters or centimeters? She's like, millimeters.
Dumbass.
Like, I'm really, guys.
But listen, in Rhea's mind, the 16 centimeter follicle explained why she felt so bloated.
Yes, because I had like 10 of them. So imagine even how more ridiculous I sound because I had like 10 of them.
Essentially, they'd be coming out of your ears.
Yes, I'm made of a follicule. My nose is a follicule.
You have become a follicule. Just we follicule.
Just we follicule. So see, n'est pas une pipe. But what was I going to say?
All right. So in your case, 6 days of injection, go in and check your follicles.
So I came
twice. Babies are coming along, you know, they're good.
So,
and nicely done, raisy.
And when you get closer, they want to see you more and more often because right before extraction, they need to give you what's called a trigger shot. Which leads us to the second blooper story. Or third. Oh yeah, third blooper story of this.
So throughout this whole process, Rhea's been very diligent. If they say 8 p.m., you better bet your ass that she's going to be giving herself that shot on the hour.
I had all my alarms ready.
She's waking up at 6 a.m. She's doing her shots. Everything is on time. And so she goes for that last ultrasound and they're like,
okay,
this is
Saturday,
it, young lady.
It's happening on Saturday, which means 36 hours before your operation, you need to have done these trigger shots so your body is in prep. It's ready
to
go.
Right. And so
they give me these
three
needles.
Of them.
These needles could have been 16 centimeters, guys. They were friggin' massive because the other needles were like small
and cute.
This one was like big.
This one was proper.
But what was actually more complicated about this is the spot where you're supposed to shoot yourself or prick yourself. One of them was in my butt,
mm-hmm.
and then two of them in my arm.
Yes.
And also the nurse, bless her, was like, you need to prick them at the right place or else you're going to hit a nerve. And when she said nerve, she hit a nerve. Because I was like, I ain't getting paralyzed because of this shit.
Okay, guys. So the point on your arms where you're supposed to do it is like...
It's two fingers from your bone and then like there.
It's on the outside of your arm. Yeah. So it's like it's very hard for one arm to reach this side on the other arm.
Yeah, without hurting yourself.
Even if you just wanted to touch it, it's not that simple.
But can I say what I did? Is I called my good old Dr. Needles, aka Marilyn Zakauer.
Dr. Needles?
And I was like, yo, I need your help. And
you're doing this.
She's like, I got you.
Come on over. I'll be there. Come on over.
And again, poor Hattie is in the vicinity.
I'm like, hey, honey, Rhea's coming. She needs some shots. And he's like, what?
Okay.
You're just, at this point, he just shrugs. Anyways, Rhea comes over and at 9, so she's supposed to get a shot at 10 p.m. And at 9:57, I get a call from a client and I have to pick that up.
I was so upset at this client. I'm like, and I saw my, like when she called, I checked my phone. What time is it? Because I was monitoring the time.
Yeah, and I had to pick up.
And I was like, motherfucker.
And this client was like being lovely and asking me questions about myself because I was a bit sick. She's being very caring actually. And then it became like 10:05. I'm like walking around the house on this phone call.
I pricked myself
and
the first time.
Rhea pricks herself
and blood
alone. Kill Bill style. Blood gashes out of her arm.
I still administered myself the first
shot.
And I saw the blood and I was like, shit, I can't do this again. I can't do this again. And so I take the second shot.
So guys, she preps the second shot.
And so I walk straight to Marilyn and I'm like, prick me.
Prick me now. And I'm literally still holding my phone. So I put my phone between my shoulder and my ear in one hand. And then I take the needle in the other.
She jams
me. And I shove it into Rhea's arm. And while I'm still talking to my client, would you believe?
Would you believe?
I do it. In my head, I'm thinking, I can't believe you just made me do this. It's just 5 minutes later. We're all going to be fine. This isn't the mission to like Apollo 13. Like it's not, you need to chill.
In my mind though, it was like the specificity of the time is so important.
Yeah, because they told it to so me so specific about the time times. When you got there.
Listen, I did not know this information. okay? Let's just say.
Fine.
And then.
And then Rhea.
And then I'm still on the phone call. Needle. Did you see how I filled the other needle with the
I'm
liquid?
Still on the phone call. Having now pricked her arm, and Rhea gives me the other needle
and points to my butt.
Her pants down in the bathroom, my guest bathroom.
And Marilyn turns around and walks away.
I take the needle and I'm like, we're not doing this. I'm not, like, I did the first one while on the phone, but I'm not shoving a needle in your butt. By the way, you had been very specific that for this one, we had to be very careful that we didn't hit a nerve.
Yeah, you had to, like, take some blood out.
And what, I needed all my hands and all my eyes and all my brain to get this one right. And Rhea just wanted me to do this while I was on the phone.
I was like, and then wags her finger and she's like,
oh. Fucking crazy woman.
And so I had to wait another 2 minutes. And poor Marilyn was trying to get her friend off the phone. She's like, oh, thanks, dear.
I don't say dear
but
to anyone.
Whatever you said, you were like, okay.
Eventually.
And then she did it in my butt and then we called Hattie to come back down.
Yeah, Hattie like, at this point escaped. Understood what was going on. So he like ran upstairs. And then Rhea lay on my couch, pulled her pants down.
Didn't feel a thing.
I'm a great nurse, can I
You're
say?
You're a great nurse.
Thank you.
Then Hattie came back down and then we just hung out.
That's right.
And then the last day you have no nothing, the last 24 mm-hmm. hours. You cannot eat 8 hours prior to retrieval and you cannot drink 2 hours prior to retrieval. I took myself in an Uber there because it made no sense for anyone to come with me because you couldn't.
There's nothing you can do at that moment.
I was watching The Gilded Age on my phone, had my headphones in, got there, you know, they put the morphine in, and then this amazing doctor anesthesiologist. I want to know her name because she's an amazing person. She was so funny.
She's hilarious. I met her later. She's really epically funny.
Epic. And so then they take you to the surgery room.
She said,
welcome to the art theater.
She also said, you're going to have the best sleep of your life.
Of your life.
Sounded like she was a drug
she's
dealer
like, pick
in
a dream.
Life.
It was like
pick a dream.
She's like, literally pick a dream. And then she was like, I wish I was you.
Nice, yeah. Nice.
And then she put the thing. It was intravenous anesthesia. And then it was like in the movies, I saw a blurry light and I was out and then I was up. And then they're like,
Rhea.
And
you woke up?
And I was like, thank you. Had a few silent tears while saying thank you to everyone. Then I went to my bed.
Why did you cry? Do you think?
What do I think? I think also a lot of this has been me just like powering through it and not allowing myself to really feel. I'm just going to get this shit done. So I think at that moment it was done. You know, it was like,
I get that.
So Hick, it was a release.
Tears of release.
I couldn't believe I did it. I think a part of it was like, wow, I just did it. Like I was talking about it. Now it's done. Wow. Mm. It's a thing. I think I was proud of myself.
And then what made you stop?
What made me stop?
Was it the women screaming in the background?
Oh my God. I don't want to sound judgy though. But before I went in, actually, yeah, that's true. You're right. Before I went in, there were two women who went in before me. And then it's not a big room. So you can hear, and there's no wall separating the different beds. So I could hear what was going on. Both of them, I can't imagine what they're going through, but both of them were like, am I okay? Like it was very like a very like
emotionally
emotional and not calm. And I like to, I pride myself at being calm in those situations. Moments. And there's nothing you can do. And I kept telling myself in my, before going, I'm like, you're in control. Everything's going to be okay. When you're out, you just need to be calm. If you feel tired, just sleep. Like you got this kind of thing. So when I woke up, again, the first thing I wanted was saying thank you to the medical staff because like they took care of me. And then I was just like, be calm, be calm. And then when I felt like the emotions come out, I'm like, just be calm. It's going to be okay. And also when they said, oh, your friend's here. I was like, okay, I'm not by myself.
That's me.
So I didn't feel like I was by myself. Because there's a lot of this, it's a very lonely experience.
Mm, for sure.
Even if you had 50 friends with you at the doctor's, it's still a lonely experience. I was telling you this morning, like I remember when you were pregnant and we were in Spain. And you were saying, I just want to go back to see Hadi. And I was like, but like, why are you okay? She's like, yeah, I'm having, you said, I'm having a great time with you guys. You were still in your first trimester and you said, I feel like he's the only one who has skin in the game. So we're in this together and I want to be with him. I don't really have anyone who has skin in this game.
Mm-hmm.
It's my skin. It's my eggs. It's
You're
me.
The game.
It's me. Right. And so that's an incredibly heavy thing to carry by yourself where you're like, okay, I'm doing this. It's me. But at the same time, it's just me. So I have to get myself past through that finish line. It's even like, you know, when you're like lifting weights and you're doing a squat and you go down and there's that moment where you're like, okay, I need to breathe again and exhale and go up. I felt like, okay, I just had to take it up. And I have to do that all on my own, but I have to do it. Khalas, we have like, there's no if, buts or ands. You got to do this. So hey, it's these two feelings that are like living side by side and however easy the process is, it's a lot.
For sure. And you were very lucky. I think this whole thing was relatively
quick
and easy for you. I mean, you were in a bit of pain after, but
yeah,
nothing too dramatic.
No, nothing. Like even now I'm a little bit in pain, but like it's period cramps and depends on what type of chair I sit in, if I feel anything. Hanging out at home now, I feel completely fine.
Yeah. And so from my side, I mean, I got there just a little bit after Rhea was
texted you.
Woken up.
Yeah.
And I was sitting outside because I couldn't go in until the other women had left actually. And one of these women walks out and she's literally walking like she broke a leg. Like
that much. Oh, you didn't say the details.
She was clearly in like what looked like pain.
Yeah.
Like bent over almost.
Oh, wow.
Very emotional.
Yeah. And her husband was there.
And her husband was there. And I was like, oh, fuck. Is this what Rhea's going to
look like?
Feel like?
Yeah.
And then I walk in and Rhea's like drinking her cold brew that I'd gotten her and the nurse took inside and chilling.
Yeah, I was I had like a leg over my leg.
She's sitting like a, you know, like an Apollo. And so I was very relieved.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like it had gone down easy.
Yeah.
And then she was also like high-fiving all the nurses, saying thank you to them. And I think one nurse told you that you were her favorite patient ever.
It was funny. When I woke up, I was, first of all, it was the best
sleep of your
life. Of my life. I slept so deeply. And when I woke up, I felt fine. I was like, ready to go. I was like, can I leave now? they wouldn't let
Rhea
me
wanted
leave.
To party. So what about this journey has been positive and maybe forward-looking is exciting to you? And what about this journey was the hardest or maybe is something that you're still battling with?
I think I learned a lot about myself that I can power through. I don't give myself a lot of grace or a lot of slack. But if I think of myself in the last 3 years or 4 years, I moved countries 3 times by myself. Like I packed my shit and like would move into apartments by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I get things done. I don't know why I have this image of myself of someone who doesn't do stuff.
No one knows which why is wrong. You have that image in your head.
So hey, this was reaffirming of that. And also like whatever I decide for my future family or if I want to have a kid at 40, 42. I have some time now. It feels like I have a, like more time, and I have. They were able to extract 10 eggs. I've upped my odds if that's the path I choose to go through. Mm-hmm. You want a negative?
Yes.
Like, I'm still not over this thought of like, oh, no one, like who would want to have a
family? Yeah, you didn't magically
freeze
your eggs and stop thinking that.
Like that didn't go
shocking,
away.
Really.
Yeah. And like, or even this whole thing of like, will I have children? Will I not have children? Is still like a question that's out there that this didn't take it away. I didn't expect it to take it away. But now, like I've been in therapy for 3 or 4 years now. I've been doing the work. I froze my eggs. Going to the gym. Like I'm doing all these things. Mm-hmm. I feel confident. I'm more confident in myself. I've done all this work. And I still have this crux that I'm unable to be vulnerable when it comes to being in a relationship or dating and things like that. I'm still unable to.
Can I tell you something that you yourself said when we did the Word of the Year episode?
Which was?
Courage, which is your word of the year,
Sah.
Is not the absence of fear. It is your ability to keep going despite the fear.
Yes.
You will never not have that voice. Mm. I'm in a relationship and I have that voice.
Yeah.
I am married with a child and I have that voice. Mm-hmm. It's just that voice is no longer the dominant voice. And
yes.
You do things in its presence because you have courage.
That's
not
true.
Because the fear goes away.
That's true. There's also whoever is doing this or is planning on doing this, because I at one point had this, is like, okay, I need to produce X amount of eggs. And you're just like thinking of how you can best prime your body for those eggs. And like when you're like extracting, you're like, what's the number? Like how many did you
how
get
many?
Out? How many are healthy? Hella, they've extracted 10. I don't know how many of those are healthy. I'll find out on Monday. It doesn't matter. The doctor said something quite beautiful. And I asked her, what's a good number? And she was like, whatever your body produces is a good number.
Yeah.
So I think that's also something within that dark voice of like, okay, let's go. Let's fucking be the best at this as possible. Again, great voice professionally, great voice academically, great voice at the gym. Maybe not so great voice at this present moment, right?
Right.
What makes it difficult with the egg freezing is like, well, you froze your eggs now. Now what? Is freezing your eggs another way of you just doing something so you say to the world that you did it and you still don't try to break through this alleyway? Like, oh, I froze my eggs. I'm on blah, blah, blah.
Tell you what. If this is Randa's way of motivating you to break through the alleyway, let's go.
Let's go.
You know?
Yeah.
So what's your best advice to someone who's going to go through this? So you talked about bringing in your friends or your support network. Being informed and doing your research.
Mm-hmm.
Any other big pieces of advice you have?
Make yourself comfortable for those 10 days.
Mm.
See the people you want to see. Eat the food you want to eat. Start the shows that you want to start. Like, hey, pamper yourself during those days. You don't have to power through and be like at the... Like, no, you can make it a nice environment for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a really funny question for you. Because like something you guys don't know about Rhea.
Yeah.
Is that like, let's say we're cooking. Rolling vine leaves, making lubie. Rhea will like spend an unnecessary amount of time thinking about the fate of each lubie.
Oh, you remember this.
Are you going to get eaten? Are you going to get thrown away?
Who's going to eat you?
Did
of
you make
all
the
of
cut?
Us. Yeah.
Which one of us is going to eat this particular lubie or that one?
I also think about like the forks in the drawer. Like how many times... Have you
Do we
been
always
eaten?
Take out the same one?
Yeah, and how many times have you been used by Hadi versus Marilyn Hemp / who was the last person that you were in their mouth before you were in my mouth?
Literally. So what are the equivalent thoughts about the eggs?
Let's say I use these eggs.
Besides the, are they going to switch you by mistake to somebody else's
Hilarious,
drawer?
Right?
Yes.
I literally thought when that lady was walking out.
You're like, what if I get her eggs?
Like, what if I get her? What if she gets mine? What if like one of my kids is made by accident?
Switcheroo.
What do we do? Like, imagine they call me in 9 months, like, you have a baby. Do I leave it with the couple or do I take it?
Okay, that's thought number one.
Freezing your eggs, part one.
The
Netflix
switcheroo.
Series.
The switcheroo.
Another one, I was like, if, let's say that I meet someone and we have to use the eggs to make our children. And I thought about, like, whatever kid is alive and that is made, it's like, well, your dad wasn't exactly there
when you were
conceived. Your Aunt Marilyn was. At least half of you.
I also told you your kids will have two birthdays.
Yes.
The day of extraction and the day of conception.
Yeah. I joked to you the other day via text, we were quoting Hamilton. I was like, who lives, who dies, who tells your story? So which egg will survive? Will there be twins? Like, I actually thought, like, what if we use two and they end up being twins? Are they boys or girls? Like, we don't know yet. Are they just going to go flush?
Do you know how boys and girls work?
Yeah, we don't know yet, I said.
That's not intrinsic to your eggs.
No, I know. It's the male.
Right. So will they become boys and girls?
Yes, will they become boys and girls? Also, if they start off as boys and they want to be girls, that's also cool with us. Actually, it was more the clinic than the eggs. I thought, will I ever walk through these doors to fertilize them?
Mm.
Or will I one day walk through these doors and say, you can
dump them?
Dump them. And if we dump them or use them, we love them in any case.
That's true. Do you have names for them?
No, we're not naming them.
Can we call them the Follies?
Sure.
It's cute.
The Follies. And if we do a second round, they can be the Hammies.
Why?
Hamilton. Oh. Musical class to freedom. Tomorrow there'll be more of us.
The journey to egg freezing has been ripe with Hamilton quotes, everybody. All right, Raisy. Do you want to leave a message for yourself?
Rhea, my future self? No, I just want to say one more thing is to be thankful for your body and for what it can do and how it can help you.
Our bodies are fucking badass.
They're really badass. They're really, really badass. And things will be as complicated or difficult as you choose to make them to be sometimes.
If you simplify it, it becomes simple.
There you go. And I would like to thank all my friends who were there for me during this time.
Yes, I think it was a very beautiful moment of sisterhood as well. And all the people who texted you who knew what day was happening.
Today, did you see how many people called me today? So just many. Now, by the way, I have...
Just now.
Tara, how are you feeling? Mark.
Thanks,
maybe
y'all.
I name all the eggs that are used one after all of each you. One.
Oh, so pretty.
I can name one Lou.
Name them all Marilyn.
All right. Well, thank you for talking about this with me. And
Raise. I'm not the one that needs to be thanked.
On the microphone
for
or
being
off.
Courageous and telling your story and sharing it, you know, far and wide.
I hope my eggs stay where they're supposed to stay in the fridge and don't go far and wide.
Eggies.
My eggies.
In a couple of decades when you hear this podcast, I hope you find it funny. I also hope you find your mom courageous.
Aww.
Are you going to cry now?
That was cute.
Aww. Your future kids.
Yeah.
And on that note, listeners, because Rhea's about to bawl her eyes out.
No, I'm not.
Yes, she is. We hope that this inspires those of you who needed that one last push. This was Things My Mother Didn't Tell Me, But My Best Friend Did, a spin-off of Who Run the World. I'm Marilyn.
And I'm her best friend, Rhea.
And our bestie producer is Ahmed Ashour in Bahrain. New episodes of Who Run the World drop every Wednesday. Subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss an episode. Until then,
see you next time.